This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a conversation.
This is a crazy rabbit hole. I have to close this. This is amazing.
Yeah, I got kind of depressing.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I had a conversation yesterday with one of the homies, with my mans and him. His name will remain anonymous. About the GM situation, Monty McNair. And we both kind of agreed. I want to know what both of you guys think here. We both kind of agreed, like, Monty McNair doesn't seem like he's cut out to be the head guy. He's an NBA guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't, you don't run him out of the league. But as far as the head guy, he doesn't seem cut out for that. And one of the things why I don't think he's cut out is I'm pretty sure, like, the Kings, like, have a, you know, people talk about, oh, so dysfunctional. They talk to more people than I do, maybe. So I'll concede to people who say that. But we talk about Wes Wilcox and, you know, and all these other guys, and there's so many chefs in the kitchen, there's so many voices in the room, all this other stuff. I feel like that is a lot more common than people are giving it credit for. The difference here is, usually in these other places, the guy who makes the decisions lets it be known, I make the decision. I'm the general manager. I'm going to do this. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. And one of the people I was talking to in the past, I said, straight up, man, what do you think? Who makes the decisions? And he goes, it's Monty. He makes the decisions. Mm-hmm. But he kind of just lets Wes, like, run wild to a certain degree. And that's where, like, it gets blurred and all this other stuff. And I put that on Monty. Don't let him run wild. Let it be known, hey, it's me. Anybody that you get on the phone with, oh, man, well, I talked to Wes. Don't worry about none of that. It's me. Wes helps, all this other stuff. Yeah, he makes some phone calls. It's me.
It was me all along.
All along, Austin. I'm the one. Mm-hmm. And it feels, I could be speaking completely out of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it feels like Monty wasn't assertive enough for that position. And because of that, you got Wes thinking deals are done or saying, hey, yeah, talk to me because, you know, we'll make a deal done. It feels like Monty should have just been like, it should have been clear. Buck stops with me.
I was talking to James earlier on the Insiders. It seemed like they had two defined roles. Like, Wes was to talk to the agents and stuff like that. Like, if that's your job, then, like what am I looking at? Like, Monty's, like, just doing the analytics and all that. Like, why am I looking at you like you're the GM? I'm the one going out talking to people. I think that's where it messed up.
You
need one guy to do both. James talking about, like, Monty's an introvert and he's not great talking to others and stuff like that. Like, that can't work for that job. We can't bring in Wes because you don't know how to talk to people or whatever.
You're right. You're right, 100%. But in that same vein, Wes Wilcox, well, why are you around? Because I'm talking to people. Because I'm the boss. Go get your own GM. Go to Utah if you want to be the boss. But I'm the boss. There's only one captain here, and it's me. Bottom line, like you can feel however you want about that, but I'm the guy.
And you believe that was happening?
I believe that wasn't happening.
Okay,
all right. And that's why you get
everybody
thinking they can talk to so and so and for whatever. And I just, you don't have to be like rude about it, but it there should have been.
That's on the owner.
It's on the owner, but it's also money. Like, the owner might have told
me. Well, Vivek hired me to do this. Like, yeah, that's cool. You think you're doing that, but I got hired here for a reason. In the same interview process, I'm here for a reason because you lack at this.
That's cool. I'm telling you right now, don't tell nobody a deal is done until you come across, until you talk to me.
I know. I wonder if he could even do that.
If Wes, well, he could, just like that. Wes can do all this other stuff. Hey, bro. Don't tell nobody's a deal. Like, I'll be the one to tell somebody a deal is done. Put your foot down. Put your foot down. Like I said, the person told me, like, hey, yeah, Monty's the guy who makes the decisions, but he lets Wes do all the stuff that he does. That's what was told to me. And if he would just button up, like, nah, bro, like, with all due respect, like I said, you don't have to be mean, but hey, man, stop doing that. Or if you're talking to other teams, other GMs, I know Wes said what he said. I'm telling you face to face or on this phone, you got to come through me to get a deal done.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like that was happening.
I don't think that clears up his function, though. Because if you got your GM calling other GMs, tell them, no, go to me, and like your assistant GM, like you're just working against each other at that point.
Yeah, well, it clears it up. It doesn't clear it up if he doesn't stop. But if you tell him to stop that, stop doing that. And I don't know if that ever happened. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But tell Monty McNair, tell Wes Wilcox, stop doing that, man. You're making us all look bad. We'll go to Utah.
It just comes down to your point. Just Monty's not the guy for that.
Right.
Like, he just doesn't have that in him.
So we're starting over.
That's what it feels
like. That's basically what we're saying, right? We're starting over?
I think they should, yeah.
Let me ask
everyone a question then. How did we get to executive of the year? Was the bar, and I'm not trying to, like, was the bar so low? That's why we got there? It was a 48-win basketball team up from 30-something. Mm-hmm. Made the playoffs, 3-seed. Kiss my ass. We'll never apologize for it. Mm-hmm. Domas, De'Aaron, all NBA players and All-Stars that year. How did we get there?
Because everything went right.
Hmm.
You took a perennial loser for 16 years to the 3-seed in the playoffs. Like, that's how you got there.
Everything went right that year. They didn't have to deal with much outside of that first 4-game losing streak of the season. They didn't have to deal with anything. They didn't have to deal with... Should we, like, realistically, I know people wanted Mason Plumlee, but, like, no trade deadline, like, stuff. They have to deal with, all right, do we trade for this guy or, you know, what do we do? Everything went right. Malik Monk had a career year or had a really good year. Maybe he had better statistical seasons, but he was phenomenal. Herter was phenomenal. Keegan Murray was phenomenal. Everything went right. So because of that, like, yeah, those were all his moves. He should get executive of the year. But – The real like insight to who he was as an executive came when there was a little bit of turmoil and you had to navigate through some things and he didn't handle that correctly. Whether it's player coach issues, personnel issues, like how do we upgrade? How do we get better? Making tough decisions. Do we move on from this rookie to get this veteran guy? Do we take a chance even though he's saying, you know, we're not going to resign? He didn't handle that. He didn't handle that. So when everything was perfect, he won executive of the year. But when there was some questionable things going on and some decisions that needed to be made, he couldn't pivot.
Well, it felt like when they hit that I kind of get stuck. I know James has brought this up. I think it was an original DeMarcus Cousins point, if I remember correctly. They didn't, it was like, just make the playoffs. That was the goal, and they didn't know what to do after that. And, you know, we waited all after that 48-win year to see what they would do, and they didn't do anything. We know that they tried. Mm-hmm. The Harrison Barnes deal was on hold for, I think it was about 10 days, 7 to 10 days, because of their pursuit of OG Anunoby. They weren't able to pull that off. I don't know if they were pursuing anybody else at the time. The only name that we knew for sure was OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. And it wound up with Harrison Barnes signing a contract that, in hindsight, I'm pretty confident he knew he was getting mm-hmm. traded with. Maybe, obviously, not immediately, but he knew this is going to be a contract that they use to move later. And obviously it was.
Can I push back a little bit on that, what Boogie sure. said and what people say about that?
Okay.
Just by the virtue of them doing that, they knew what they had to do, right? It was just how far you wanted to go. So, like, the thought of they made the playoffs and they didn't know what to do after that. No, they were like, we need an OG, we need a Pascal type guy. How far they wanted to go to get that guy, maybe that's something they weren't comfortable with. And like I said, I'm not. They all probably got to go. I'm not here to save their jobs. Mm-hmm. But, no, they knew what they had to do. Like, the whole notion that they didn't know what to do, they just sat there and they thought that was good enough. Nah, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, mm-hmm. no, we need to elevate. Once again, the question always comes, how bad did you want to elevate? Did you want to elevate bad enough to move on from Keegan Murray after that rookie season he had? They said no. I was saying no at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people were saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So, Maybe at that point, maybe they had a plan C. Maybe they needed a plan C, D, and E. Mm-hmm. And then Harrison was playing. Well, I don't mean to sound like this. This is just a weird coincidence, but Harrison was playing F. Mm-hmm. It just sounds weird. I didn't mean that. There's no dig at Harrison. But
mm-hmm. Falcon.
There you go.
Yeah.
But their plan C was Harrison Barnes, I feel like.
Do you think the dysfunction or anything looks any different if maybe Vivek hires Wes as the GM and Monty as the assistant?
No, I think there's still problems if Wes is the general manager. Gotcha. It might be worse. Correct. Someone help me with my mm-hmm. timeline. He had the Cavs, Hawks job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got let go. Mm-hmm. He did not have another front office position.
I don't think so.
So the Kings were his first one.
Yeah.
Okay, I think there's a reason for that. That's my opinion. I think there's a reason that he didn't have another front office position.
What was the time period, though? Like, was it right after? Was there years in between him getting?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
There were years between Hawks and Kings.
He resigned as the GM for the Hawks.
He resigned.
Yeah, in 2017, he was an advisor from 2017 to 2020.
To who?
For the Hawks.
Okay. No, he wasn't.
That's what real GM says.
Okay. Okay. Sure, pal. My guess is he was getting paid. They gave him a title and told him to stay his ass at home.
Like, threw his ass in the office like Howie Roseman with the Eagles.
Pretty
I
much.
Think, a few years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I won.
And what year did you say that was till?
That was till 2017, 2020. So basically, he resigned and then got his little advisor role. I guess,
and
right
so he
that,
got
yeah.
the advisor role. He was out of the picture. He joins Monty in 2020.
Yeah.
That's about a 3-year time period.
I don't think. I'm not like confident in Wes Wilcox as an executive or nothing like that. But if the what was told to me and has been told to others is that Monty was the decision maker, do you think more moves would have been made if Wes was the decision maker?
No.
Because what it sounds like a little bit is Wes was willing and dealing. But he didn't have final say. And when it would get to Monty, he might be like, I'm not comfortable with that.
You think that's what was happening?
It sounds like it could be. Is that out of the realm of possibility?
To me, yes. Why would Wes be talking to anybody without Monty McNair's blessing?
Oh, because he thinks he's in charge. Because Monty never told him, stop doing that.
Yeah, the way it kind of gets told is like that was kind of his thing. Like, he talks to the agents and the people.
If you do that without consulting your boss first, he should have been fired years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that's extremely... Again, it's that two leaders thing. Who do you turn to when there's an issue? Mike Brown goes to the person who he knows will side with him if Monty and Wes are on opposite ends of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it was
and
like
then you can go, apparently you can go to Vlade too. Maybe Vivek.
If it was like
maybe Jeremy Lamb.
Team had co-GMs rather than an assistant and a regular GM.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it feels like. Co-managers.
Doesn't work.
We'll come back.
Who handles day-to-day and who handles big stuff?
This is a big picture thing, David.
But it affects our day-to-day.
But he said that one.
All right, we'll be back.
Hey, shout out our boy Dave Deuce Mason, because he brought up something that would be pretty fire. He's talking about Matt George takes a picture of Sutter Health Park where the A's will have their home opener today, in West Sac, not downtown. But Deuce tweets it out and he says, so wild seeing MLB in Sacramento. No doubt the city's going to show up for it. I really hope it brings a team here. Also, how cool would it be to see a purple beam light up during the A's game tonight? That would be fire. Hey, that would be picturesque. That would be fire if they were able to somehow get a win that I don't think they can get.
Well, Kenny says it's not happening. So
yeah, Kenny already told us to forget about it.
Dashing poor little Deuce Mason's dream.
I'm trying to let me see. I think They only might have one opportunity at this all year. Two. Tonight, I think next Friday, they're playing at the same time. I would assume. You can't really assume. I was going to say the basketball game might end before the baseball game. But, yeah, there's only like two opportunities that this could happen.
If the A's were to come here permanently, does the beam become citywide? Like the A's win, now it's great.
The beam
stays with them. Actually, it could happen two times.
Man, this is a really good picture Biederman just posted. This is terrific. I don't know how well you can see that on the screen. But the sky's cleared up a little bit.
Looks like just MLB the Show.
No, they did the bare minimum.
It's just like MLB the Show.
they actually have two opportunities. So they've got tonight, next Monday, they play Detroit in an earlier game.
Mm-hmm.
They play the A's play the Padres at home. And then next Friday, that one's kind of simultaneous. The Mets are in town and the Kings play the Clippers? Clippers. So.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But Kenny says it can't happen, so.
By the end of the show, you guys convince me that it can.
There is not a single person talking, listening, watching this show who's going to attempt to convince you that the Kings are going to beat the... Maybe TC will call in and try to convince you that the Kings are going to beat the Indiana Pacers.
This is a tough matchup.
I got you. It is. It's tough. But it is exciting to have the home opener for the A's against the Chicago Cubs.
Tough part with the Kings tonight is like I feel like they're going to make the play-in just because of what happened with Phoenix.
It's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
Find a way to win.
Let's see what happens.
Find a way to win two games. Mm-hmm. That's it. Find a way to win two games. At least you're almost certainly not in a situation where you're losing a home game. Mm. I mean, maybe. I mean, the Dallas thing. I'm not. I mean, who knows.
Right.
I mean, Dallas is fighting, but it's not like they're incapable of losing a basketball game.
Right.
Like, they can lose.
Right.
Who they got? They got Brooklyn tonight.
That's a win.
The Suns are a game and a half back from the Kings for the 10th spot. Kevin Durant is out with a sprained ankle for at least, I think, a week.
A week, yeah.
Three games, at minimum of three games. They got blown out by the Rockets. They've got
up by the Rockets. Boy, I was watching at the start of the fourth. I turned that on, and I didn't know KD was out. But they
second seed in the West.
Act
the Mavs. They're in Brooklyn tonight. The Suns. They have the Bucks. tomorrow.
And then they got Boston on Friday.
Got you guys back again.
Thank you. Boston on Friday. They said he's out for that whole road trip, right? Yeah, I forgot it's New York on Sunday. So they're going to take on Milwaukee, Boston, Knicks.
Oh,
without
okay.
KD.
Okay.
At least. And they got the Warriors. They got
Let's go 0-3, baby.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Messing around. Both teams might go 0-3.
Sorry, Eddie. Sorry, KD. Rooting for your downfall, dog.
Both teams might go 0-3 before the Kings get back here to the Golden 1 Center next week.
I know we're talking Kings, but that Suns thing didn't work, huh?
Nah.
Yeah, we've reached the end of that now.
Nah, like, you have to be able to build a roster somehow. Like, you have to have a stronger set of role players. You have to have guys who know what their role are. Mm-hmm. You had a $50 million player, and you tried to manipulate him out of his role. Mm-hmm. Like, and Bud's gone, right? Like, I know this is crazy. I feel like Bud was part of the problem.
No, yeah, there was locker room issues with Bud. Like, that's why they got Nurkic out of there.
And I think a lot of that was Brad, too. Like, you benched Bradley Beal? Like, to try to get him to waive his no-trade clause? And I loved his agent's response, to be honest with you. Oh, we're fine. We're happy. I mean, if this is the route they want to go, they haven't presented us with something different. Like, that's trash to me. Like, if you have a trade proposal, yo, take it to the man. Take it to his agent. Here's what we got. This is what we're trying to do. You net the biggest return for us. And if he says no, okay, you put him on the bench. Wait, you think at that point, if this is the way the scenario went, you presented him with a trade, he said no, then you bench him, you think all of a sudden he's going to go, okay, I'll waive it? Mm. No, he's going to say, F you, I'm going to sit here, preserve my legs, and make my money. Of course, he didn't preserve his legs. He got back in the starting lineup and got hurt again.
Poor guy.
Brad, God bless it, man. Some of these guys can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm a Bradley Beal fan. I thought he was disrespected too. A little bit during this trade. But
absolutely.
Those
was.
Who said he couldn't stay on the court, you win. I'll just take my L and keep moving.
They're gonna go through another coach.
Yeah.
That would be 4 and 4 years.
Wow.
I mean, at this point,
no interim.
Who am I missing? Frank, Monty, Bud.
And then the new one.
Oh, and then the new one. Yeah. Okay.
At this point, do you maybe just build around Buck and keep Bud? I mean, assuming that Buck is one of the guys that doesn't hate him.
Because
that's not a group you're keeping together.
Yeah, maybe. So why?
It's like, why would you fire another coach and pay another coach? Like, if you're just going to blow this up, maybe Bud will get along with the other guys.
Do you guys believe in, I know we're in the.
Remember when we broke the news that Bradley Beal would have waived his no trade clause to come to Sacramento?
That was a moment, huh?
Remember that?
Yeah. Do you guys believe in, if circumstances are pretty dire, like taking a year to figure out what the next move is. I know nobody wants to do that, but I'm thinking about Phoenix and thinking about what Jesse said, and everybody's like, man, you gotta do this and fire this guy and da da da. What if they did keep Bud, maybe you move on from KD, and then keep Book here and just figure out what the next move is for the most of next year?
I'd ask Book how he feels about Bud.
If he was okay with him.
Yeah, then I would do that. Like if you, I would do that if you're committed to Devin Booker and trying to salvage this somehow. Like Ishbia is not going to blow this up. He's just going to keep trying to figure out ways to keep his head above water. And it's hard for me to believe he'll be patient with Bud, but you don't say nothing about the Sacramento Kings head coaching position if you're not going to talk about what Ishbia is doing there in Phoenix. Because I'm pretty sure all of these coaches that we're talking about are getting paid. Monty Williams might be getting paid by two teams.
Did we hear anything over the weekend, by the way?
About?
From Michael Malone. From all these,
I think we heard from Memphis, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we got.
Didn't
a press
Memphis
conference.
Do a press conference?
It's Said it wasn't on the players, by the way.
Yeah, I think Memphis did a press conference.
Yeah, I heard Desmond Bane. I saw his clip.
I saw Desmond Bane's clip, too. He said Jenkins didn't miss one shot all year.
He's right.
I get it. I mean, he is.
He's right.
He is.
But, yeah, I don't know. I was expecting to hear from Michael Malone.
No Michael Malone.
And also Rick Carlisle, before I get started.
Memphis Grizzlies, no class, no balls.
Before I get started. See, that's what does bother me a little bit. Like, yeah, it was real easy and real quick for you to do that to Sacramento and all this other stuff. But unjust, or what some people feel are unjust firings, happen all the time. But when it happens in Sacramento, it's an indictment on the franchise, the owner, all this other stuff. And it's just crazy. But when it happens somewhere else, well, nobody want to say nothing about it.
You fired the 13-day coach that lost some of the locker room compared to the guy who was getting ready to go to the playoffs.
I just searched to see if Rick Carlisle spoke about Taylor Jenkins, and it appears he did not.
Mm.
If he did, it's been hidden from the whole internet.
Then scrub from the internet.
Just like Dave's tweets about De'Aaron Fox. Cannot find him. Wait a sec. Nope. Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
I guess so. Who was the other one?
Coach Malone. Spoh had something to say. Michael Malone. Bickerstaff.
Why was Coach Spoh talking? With all due respect.
Next time.
Wait a minute.
We got something.
Michael Malone. We asked the Grizzlies. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Maybe I should be more in tune with what's going on in the world. Hey, how about Taylor? What are you talking about? Oh, he's okay. I'm not. And he told me he got fired. I should be way beyond the point of being surprised by anything. I should be, but I was shocked. I really was. I mean, there's 8-9 games to go. They're tied for fourth place in the Western Conference. Taylor has showed himself to be one of the best coaches in the league. So for Taylor to get fired at this late stage of the season and for them to be where they are is really shocking and odd at the same time. I just can't wrap my head around it. There must be something going on that we're not privy to.
Oh, so now you got understanding. Yeah. Now you got understanding. I don't want to talk about it because there's got to be something else going on.
No. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I should have read faster. But as I told Taylor, we have the same agent. He's going to have many suitors calling him. And I got this. Oh, I almost cussed.
Hey,
I almost cussed. But as I told Taylor, we have the same agent. He's going to have many suitors calling him. And I got fired in Sacramento.
Oh, my gosh. Michael Malone, bro.
And it's never easy going through that for you and a family, but it was the best thing that has ever happened to me, and I'm sure the same thing is going to happen for Taylor Jenkins.
Oh, wow.
This guy.
Such understanding,
He still managed to work Sacramento into it.
Yeah, it's never going to end.
This dude is special.
You can't even say, like, oh, I got fired before. All right, cool. I got fired from Sacramento.
Steve, okay, well, I'm just doing some searches.
Steve Kerr say something?
Let's see what we got with Steve Kerr. I might have to, I can't see this one. I have to open that on my iPad.
Where's that article?
Well, it's on the San Francisco Chronicle. You have to pay for that. Let's see, Steve.
That article coming from Prazer. Prazer spoke to Steve Kerr.
Well, they might have. Taylor is a great coach. Shocking. Taylor is a great coach. He's done an amazing job with Memphis. It came out of nowhere for us. We're not involved, obviously.
Now everybody want to mind their business.
Yeah, just let them do their thing over there.
Just afar, it's shocking. And 9 games left in the season. So it doesn't add up if you're on the outside looking in.
Hey, it's got to be tough being a Sacramento King, bro.
Bro,
found out. Oh, that's understanding. Crazy. I'm on the outside, so I can't really speak on it.
Outside all looking right. In, the Kings were 13-18, but
let's see if
these guys are hilarious.
Well, hold
man.
On. Okay. Well,
said I didn't see
they
nothing.
All, they all did it. Hang on, Eric Spoelstra. It's incredibly disappointing. This profession is tough. You want to be in it together through the good and the bad. He built a great culture there. They've won at a high level. I don't get it. There's a lot of 95-7 dots in there. Mm. But that appears to be the gist of what Eric Spoelstra said.
Mm. Yeah, okay. All right,
oh, this is a stronger worded headline. Hold on. Did he say more than that? It's incredibly disappointing. This profession is tough. His record speaks for itself. Oh, that's it. This was a much strongly worded like headline. It says Eric Spoelstra condemns Grizzlies' surprising firing of Taylor Jenkins. I don't think that's what he did at all. I just think he said it.
Somebody doesn't know what condemn means.
Yeah. Mr. Andrews, you got me to click on the article. Well done, jackass. Well, I guess everybody's understanding.
Speaking on, yeah, but no, it's just, you know, it's not my business.
None
you know?
To see here.
Not my business. It had to be something, you know. It's just, yeah, it just had to be something. Yeah,
this is something we're not privy to. Not a 13-18 record.
Oh, man, it's just funny. It's just, these guys, they're hilarious.
Zabo asking a question, is the interim coach maybe not going to get his hand shook after games too?
Oh, interesting. Mm. Who was that? Spo that did it? Who did it?
No, it might have been Spo, but it was somebody before that.
I thought it was one of the...
Spo, they played the Mavericks.
What was it? No, it wasn't Taylor Jenkins, because that'd be funny. Let me go back to see who Doug coached against.
Steve?
First game was against the Lakers.
Was it?
Second game was against Jason Kidd. Then it was...
Well, it wasn't Emay because he got thrown out, didn't he?
Who's the 76ers coach again? Oh.
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse. Then Taylor Jenkins.
It might have been Taylor.
I feel like it was Taylor Jenkins. There's Steve Kerr, Eric... Steve Kerr was... Steve Kerr almost got his ass whooped.
That's right. That's right.
Remember Steve Kerr? Okay, so now I remember. Okay, I'm remembering this. So I don't remember if Doug talked to Taylor Jenkins, but is Devin's dad
Anthony
on
Carter.
The Memphis?
Yeah.
He's on Memphis' dad.
Yeah, yeah.
He got into it with Jaren Jackson after Jaren Jackson.
Knocked down De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, okay. And they got into it on the court. Goddamn NBC Sports California has the camera fixed on Doug talking to
Jaren Jackson.
No, you just said it. Devin's dad, Carter. Anthony Carter.
Okay,
and you can see Doug look up and go, JJ, and he does like the hey. He either says hold on or excuse me or whatever, and then the camera leaves. Like yo, follow that.
Who's the producer?
Oh man, let's go to Deuce and Mo. No, follow the video.
I think, to be honest with you, I think it was, I want to say it was just everybody in the league, but I think it was quite a few people.
It did feel like it was a couple people. I feel like Spo was one. I do feel like Taylor Jenkins was one. I don't think Palenka, I don't remember. Not Palenka, JJ.
Yeah. And also some of that, play devil's advocate, could have just, sometimes they wave.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That could have happened a few times.
Yeah.
Just a real quick sidebar, Jesse, because I got to ask Jesse. I mean, is Rafael Devers ever going to get a hit?
Really, he just struck out again right now.
Is he ever going to get a hit?
I don't know. That last swing was disgusting.
I'm sitting there watching. Hey. What do you got, like 20 strikeouts already?
Give that brother a tennis racket.
give him his position back.
Hey, take a camera up if you're not going to hit the ball.
He's like Wesley Snipes in The Fan.
Yeah,
he's
got
strikeouts this season.
No, he's got like 17? 14. He's 0 for 20.
I was going to say that's impossible.
14 strikeouts. Yeah, 0 for 20, 14 strikeouts. It might be 15. It's bad. Like that's he's
tough.
Swinging. Like he doesn't know
that
what he's swinging at.
Is tough.
That's crazy. Get that man his number back and his position. I'm telling you, it's like Wesley Snipes in The Fan. You ever seen The Fan? It's a crazy movie.
Yeah, De Niro.
Yeah, that's a great. Wesley
looked exactly like Barry Bonds. The earring. It was Giants, right? Didn't he? Yep, wasn't he an actual San Francisco Giants?
What happens first? Kings get a win or Devers gets his next hit, his first hit.
Man.
Well, he's done for today.
Yeah, he's 0 for 3 already.
Kings win today?
You already said no. You said no 97 minutes ago.
I think Red Sox play the Orioles tomorrow.
I didn't even hit.
Acknowledge.
In case he was like, they're losing. I don't even know why we're here. We're the countdown show until 4 o'clock. They're losing. So stupid.
Forgot we are a pregame show.
Yeah, we are. It's a 4 o'clock game. We might. Right. It's going to be one of those rare games where we might see the whole thing inside the studio.
Right.
Apparently interviewing someone we've never heard of before.
That's the day? Don't they know we got
to I don't know, man. I don't. Bro, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Let's interview at the game.
You want to go see baseball, kid?
Kid,
I don't know.
Grown ass woman.
It's a grown woman?
I think so. That's
no, it's not.
That's the person I saw.
How could you have possibly have found that out?
Hey, like, how you doing, sport?
Look, I put it on. I just Googled. That's the one that came up.
Yeah. All right, man.
Maybe they want to go to the game.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I'm just here. Don't mind me. Just trying to have fun talking
on the
radio. That's
what we're trying to do.
Just trying to have fun talking on the radio, man. It's been an eventful day. Eventful week.
But when you, well, I don't want to assume. How did you feel about the? Obviously, you didn't like it, but like, were you like, this team just ain't got it?
I started hanging solar panels on my security cameras. I was like, just put the audio in my ears. Like, I'm not watching this anymore. I just want to hear the sad sounds of the announced team.
Nah, I really turned. You know, I'm talking about.
Oh, Doug McDermott came in and hit his first shot. Kings are only down by 27 now. Oh, go to hell. That was terrible, man. That was awful. Just waste my Saturday watching that crap.
No, I turned it. And it you know, awful. I don't ever turn no
No,
games.
I know.
But I turned that one.
I was like, I could watch this game in 20 minutes when it's over. I'm not sitting through this. I have way too much to do.
It felt like it went from 18 to 30 hella quick. And when it got to 30, I said, because
the first and the third quarter, what were the numbers? They're 75 to 41 in those two quarters. 75 to 41 in those two quarters.
That was
like, how does that happen?
That was awful. And like I said, you know, it does have me thinking a little different. I am preparing, like, depending on how they play, like, the rest of this week, I'm ready to snatch that chain back.
Mm.
Isn't that who they've been, though?
I think Jesse's
right. They've been this, though. Well, I'll take that back. So, for the last 2 weeks or so, they've shown this. Before that, they wouldn't.
But
this.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about the loss or the way that they lost?
The way they lost.
Okay.
They hadn't been, like, they in the last couple of weeks, they've started to show those signs. But for a long time before that, they weren't that. And maybe that's who they are now. I don't think that's who they had always been.
I'll just
and I'm talking about since the trade deadline.
Okay.
Since Doug took over.
Yeah, I feel like that they are a team who will take their foot off the gas or just won't show up from time to time. It's not gonna happen all the time, but it happens frequently enough to where I think they are. That's who they've been. Like after the game on Saturday, it's like, oh, Kings lost. Like, I care less about how much they lost by. It's just like, yeah, that's just they're gonna do that sometimes. Hopefully they win the next one.
Yeah. It's tough. Sorry, I'm distracted. Jesse, look at Jackson Holiday. Doesn't he look like
what is that?
11.
Oh, looks what are you two doing?
He really
doing?
Looks oh, like 11.
Oh, what are you two doing? Put the game on your iPad. Yeah, we'll all watch the game. As friends.
Jackson Holiday looks like he's...
Nah, he legit. It looks like I'm hitting up there right
hella
now.
Hella young.
I played baseball with Jackson Holiday once, it looks like.
He looks hella young in the major leagues.
Wait a minute. Are you... Okay. You have Sunday... But what's it called? Baseball.
Well, he has to.
I got the free trial right now. I'm working on, but yeah, okay. It's not that bad. Like, we got the game up right here.
No, I left my iPad at
home. Right here, man. Jackson Holiday gets strikes out.
You guys are watching the same game. This is absurd.
That's why we're number one show. We're always on the same page.
But no,
it's because we ask hard hitting questions like, "Are you digging Roman Reigns' heel turn?"
But to
seeing Fred Warner had COVID at the top of our rundown is was it crazy.
Too. Oh, brother.
Oh, that is crazy. Oh,
brother.
2020 was wild.
I do.
Remember when Tom Hanks got COVID and everyone was like, oh, man, don't take Tom Hanks from us. Not Tom and Rita. No.
It was real. It was real back then, man. We wasn't sure. We were not sure.
You still escaped it?
I think.
Yeah.
As far as I know, because I don't, whatever that Disneyland virus was, wasn't COVID. I thought it was going to kill me, but it wasn't COVID. After I threw up for 12 hours, I was, besides being terribly, terribly weak, I was fine. I did the show the next 2 days. I just did them at home.
I'm not sure if COVID really makes you throw up either.
No, I had some other, inhumane virus that should be studied.
Dan was poisoned by Mickey Mouse.
I don't think that's impossible.
I had it at least once, man. It was tough too. It was tough. I
remember
like
you had it.
But I remember a weekend.
Jazz made you sit in the garage.
Yeah.
You like FaceTimed us or you joined the stream for some reason. You sounded like crap, but you were sitting in the garage all by yourself.
It was bleak, man. It was bleak. One really bad day. Like it was a headache situation.
You haven't had it.
No, I've taken tests. People have had it. Never had it.
Doing it, baby.
Hey, the government's gonna pick us up one day.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Damn shame what happened to D'Lo and Jesse. We'll come back. Damn shame what happened to Devin Carter. We'll talk about what was observed when he was leaving, and it was a heartbreaker yesterday.
I've been waiting to talk about this.
We'll talk about it. That hurt. We'll talk about it. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Well, let's get this out of the way.
Oof.
That was arguably the most painful sporting event like I can remember following that closely yesterday. When Duke lost to South Carolina, they played so well. They had it. And South Carolina made a couple more plays, man.
Yeah.
That was tough. They played. That was a Duke game. Actually, that was a Duke South Carolina game. South Carolina is really good defensively as well. But they kept it low scoring. Like, they didn't get into a shootout. They didn't have too many, a couple, but they didn't have too many, like, lulls in their offense. Mm-hmm. And it was right there for them in the fourth quarter. Like, my stomach was in knots.
No, it was. I was.
Got a call last night, actually.
Mm.
That was tough. Really proud of Coach Lawson and that team. And, you know, hopefully they took a step from the Sweet 16 to the Elite 8 mm-hmm. this year. Hopefully there's another step for them to take, but that was tough.
Aside from Reagan, everybody coming back. So, mm-hmm. you know, and you get some additions, you get transfer portal, you know, stuff like that. Could be right back there. I was watching and, you know, went up into the fourth quarter, up four. I was like, man, you're 10 minutes away. You're 10 minutes away from the final four, man. Just close it out. Bring this thing home.
Mm-hmm.
And they did everything they could, man. They did everything they could. I don't think they did anything wrong. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at that game. I mean, South Carolina just made a couple more plays. You know, they made a couple more plays, but it wasn't like, oh, Duke couldn't score or didn't or turn the ball over a bunch or anything. It was just a good game, and South Carolina made a couple more plays, man.
Yeah, I can't remember any of her games that she played in being tougher to watch than that one. Mm-hmm. And, like, they lost a deciding WNBA Finals game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird game in Detroit where they were down. They made a run. They didn't have enough. Like, I was actually in the back when they were putting the champagne in Detroit's locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento made the run. They had to take all of the champagne out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Detroit wound up closing it out. And that still wasn't as tough as this one because I know what getting to the Final Four would have meant.
Yeah. She did a great job this year, though. Coach K did a fantastic job. I do believe this is just the beginning. This is, you know, the last couple of years are one of those things that, you know, elevates a program and puts them on the map and allows them to go get McDonald's All-Americans and get people in the transfer portal so this thing can keep going.
I think it was – I think Lindsey Harding was the last one there. It might be a little – I think it was 2006.
Yeah, I think they said 6 years.
Is that Lindsey? I can look up because, like, obviously Lindsey, I think, was the number one overall draft pick.
Is that Lindsey? Was that when they played? Did they play? Or was that?
Oh, no, they didn't. No. Lindsey, they didn't make the Final Four because.
Were they there when Maryland won it? I felt like that was.
Well,
Duke was there.
So maybe it was the next year. So Lindsey was there in 06. I think it was 07.
Yeah, I thought
she missed the free throws. She missed the free throws, and I think that was in the Elite Eight to send them to the Final Four. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the Sweet – it happened in the Sweet 16. Mm. They were 32-2 that year, and Lindsey missed two free throws with 0.1 seconds left to lose to Rutgers.
Jeez.
And they were never back. They were never back.
And Coach K has brought them back, man. It was good to see. Now, the thing that I wanted to talk about, which you don't have to speak on. You can if you want, but you don't have to speak on. I could just be talking to, well, I can't even talk to Jesse. He's gone. I guess I'll just Colin Cowherd this thing.
No one wants to hear this crap.
I guess Colin Cowherd this thing. Went through a gamut of emotions with this. I'd never seen anything like that post game. That was, oh, okay. All right. I don't know if you know what I mean. That handshake, or the semblance of a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, I did not know that's what it was. And they both seemed to be in agreement about it. Like, this is what it is with us. That's how it came off on TV, at least. And at first, I was really upset about that because I love Coach K. I love Don. And I think they're great. I think they are signs of you can be great different ways. You can go about things different ways and still be successful. And then you got the aspect of, you know, these are two successful black women coaches. I don't want to see that from them. I don't want to see that. I would like to see a more of a sisterhood between. That's just my opinion. I'd like to see that. So I was upset about that for most of the night. And then this morning I woke up and I said, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. They don't have to like each other. They don't have to get along. They don't have to be best friends. We talk all the time. Well, I talk all the time, at least, you know, with the homies and stuff like that. And I've talked to you about it. Coach Cal and Patino. Like, yeah, they not cool. There's a level of respect there, I guess. But I think they asked, they were talking about this on the broadcast. And I think it was Patino was like, yeah, I don't hate him, but we're not friends. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And I reached the conclusion where that's okay. It's okay. I wish it was different, obviously, but that's okay. But that definitely stood out to me when they just basically walked by each other. Mm. Like I said, you don't have to say anything about it, but that was one of the more, I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't think it was going to go down like that. So, and then, like I said, the thing about they both seem to be in agreement that this is how we're going to do this. It's like, oh, damn. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. We can move on. We can move on.
Yeah, I'm not trying to leave you hanging.
No, I didn't want you to feel like you had to say anything. Okay. I just noticed it. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no upsets.
Oh, man. No upsets. Your boy got a perfect Final Four.
On both sides?
The other one, it's still things to be
You're generally much smarter going number one seeds in the women's tournament.
Like, yeah.
This is far from the first time that four number one seeds have been in the...
Although it hasn't been that many times.
No, it doesn't happen a ton. Yeah. I feel like it's happened... I feel like it happens less now, but maybe within the last 20 years, I'm sure it's happened three or four times.
Yeah, that...
Where I don't know how... I don't think it's happened that many times in the men's tournament, period.
This is the second time.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Second time ever. First time.
But the first one wasn't that long ago, right?
Well, we're getting old. It doesn't feel like it. But the first one was 17 years ago. 2008 doesn't feel like 17 years ago, right?
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
That's
crazy. It's been 17 years since that happened. Wow. And I was trying to look and do some research. There's never been a time when both tournaments have all number ones. All top eight seeds make the Final Four. Mm. That's never happened.
Yeah.
And we're staring that in the face today with the Texas game and the... USC's the one seed, right? UConn's the two seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I just, when I picked out my bracket and everything, especially for the men's side, and I finished it, and I said, oh, I got all four number ones. Like, that never happens. But that's who I thought we were going to be the teams. I was like, but that doesn't happen. Somebody going to get in there and mess it up. Maybe we get three of them. But all four of them made it. And, all of them are deserving. That Florida comeback was kind of crazy. I thought they were dead. And then the other games were just kind of beatdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Houston handled business easily. Duke, yeah, Alabama, they had this record-setting three-point night in the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And like we see so many times, they couldn't buy a bucket in the following game.
Mm-hmm.
And
Duke, that's like how it works. Like, I remember when Ray Allen hit like a million threes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I think it was in the playoffs. The next game, he's like 0 for 11.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you never see, oh, man, Steph Curry, 15 of 16 threes on Monday, you know, 5 of 7 on Tuesday. It's, no, he's 15 of 17 on Monday and 0 for 11 on Tuesday.
Right.
Like, oh, man.
Averages
are going to balance out.
That's how the averages work, man.
Them averages are going to balance out no matter what.
Willie Cauley-Stein's 8 rebounds a night.
Oh.
16 in one game.
Zero in the next.